Psalm 16, a miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion, and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I've set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And now Luke's Gospel. Page 869. Luke's Gospel, the last section, verse 38 to the end. Luke 10, verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, be gracious to us now. We pray that you would be with the words of these sinful lips and the meditation of all our hearts, that all, in fact, may be pleasing in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As I think about this incident that we've just read together at the end of Luke 10, I'm wondering, is this the first time that Jesus visits this home of Mary and Martha, and of course Lazarus as well? When we get to the Gospel of John, we find very clearly that these three are close friends of Jesus, and that Jesus has frequently visited with them, with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And in fact, as you know, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. So maybe this is the first time that he entered their house. But the key thing is that these are people, all of them, that are much loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read here that Martha welcomed Jesus. Now, I think it's important to note this, because the text doesn't tell us this, but is it just Jesus that she welcomed in? Or is it Jesus and the 12 that were invited in? Or in the context, right, chapter 10 begins with not 12, but 72. So is it that she invited Jesus and the 12 and the 72 into her home? How many was it? Right? It's one thing, right? She's fussing about because Jesus was present. It's another thing if it's 12 hungry men as well. Or even more, 72 of them. All those feet to wash, all those hungry mouths to feed. So how many was it? Doesn't tell us, does it? But it could be any of those numbers. So Martha here is very, very busy. She's got a really big to-do list. And as this thing unfolds, Jesus takes a hold of her to-do list and crumples the thing up and throws it in the circular file as he speaks to her, because he says, "Martha, Martha, only one thing is necessary." But what is the one thing? That is the question, right? What is the one thing? Now, some people in the commentaries, if you may have read some of these things, some of them say that the one thing is necessary means that it's only one dish. It's only one entree, right? That's the issue, right? Martha, Martha, way too many entrees out here. It's just one that we need. You know, vegetables will do it as long as it's the right vegetable, right? Is that What's going on here? Well, notice what it says in verse 42. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. So, you know, in the context, it can't possibly be an entree that's in view. It must be something else, right? Well, I thought I'd mention that about what the commentators say. That's what I've got to deal with on a weekly basis. There's another cul-de-sac that they take us down. All right, so what is it this passage lays before us? Two things. Choosing the good portion. What is choosing the good portion? What does that mean? And then secondly, distracted by much serving. What does that mean? So I want to think about this as we come to this passage, and I know that there's a difficulty here. You know, there's certain ladies among us, and they've heard the Martha sermons again and again and again, and it's like, oh right, this is a me, right? You know what I mean? It's like Proverbs 31, and then the Martha incident, right? All right. So just going to say that right now, but we're not going to go there, all right? Because you have to remember the context. In this case, the context is vital. Because this passage follows the Good Samaritan. This passage follows the parable of the Good Samaritan. See, Luke is not presenting us a chronology of Jesus' life. Right? It's not, you know, this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, right? More like a portrait, a theological portrait of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he takes this event, and then he puts this event next to it, because they shed light on one another. And remember what we saw when we looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan. The parable follows the question, who is my neighbor? Then Jesus tells the story about the Samaritan man, the one who is most like God, who has compassion and who acts on his compassion. For enemies, he has compassion. But here's the issue. That follows another statement. And that statement has to do with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, and having a similar love for your neighbor. And then now, this incident happens after that. And that really helps us to understand what's going on here. Because what this passage is saying to us is that there is a fine line between love for God, loving God appropriately, and loving our neighbor appropriately. And that it's easy to overbalance and to tip onto one side and neglect the other side. A parable of the Good Samaritan, right? The Samaritan has compassion, right? He serves the half-dead man. And then Martha comes along, you know, being a servant, serving her heart out. And we say, that's exactly what we should be doing, isn't it? The Samaritan guy did it. But then Jesus says, one thing is necessary. And that's the good portion, he says. So do you see the point? See, Martha thinks the most important thing is serving. And in the context, she's not just critical of Mary, she's critical of Jesus too. Don't you care that I'm doing this all by myself? I mean, ouch, telling Jesus, don't you care? See, Martha hasn't got the balance right. And this is the thing, right? You and I, we need help here because we don't naturally balance love for God and love for neighbor. We don't naturally have the ability to figure out where the balance is there, do we? Right? It isn't easy for us to do that. I mean, anybody in here going to claim that I'm able to perfectly balance love for neighbor and love for God? Right? No contradictions ever in my life. Any volunteers for that? You can come up and preach if you want. If you're, tell us how you do it. Right? So here we go. I've got 3 points as we go into this passage. Actually, 3 questions. And they're kind of pointed. So here we go. All right. First question. Do you make too much of your own serving? It's the first question. Do you make too much of your own serving? It's not enough to say, right, start off with, do you make too much of serving? No, because you might say, yes, I agree with that. Right, too much serving. I'm really doing a lot. I'm doing it all by myself. Yes, too much serving. But the problem with that is that's Martha's problem. Because that's what she's saying. Essentially, she's saying, I've been doing this all by myself. Jesus, you should tell her to help me. And so often that's where we are, right? But here, sometimes we make too much of serving. We make too much of activity, too much of action, too much of busy, busy, busy. And in our heart and mind, right, all that busy, 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 all that action, action, action is proof of how much we love Jesus and how much we're devoted to him. See everything I do. And that's why I think it's important then that we ask the question the way I did at the beginning, right? Do you make too much of your own serving? Because I think that's exactly what Martha's doing, and that's what this is helping us, each of us, to see. Sometimes we make too much of our own serving. I think that is what Martha's problem is. I'm the only one around here doing anything. I'm the only one around here that is doing anything. Tell Mary to help me. Have you ever thought that? Ever? Right? Have you ever said it at home? Have you ever said it in church? You know, I'll tell you, I've heard it being said in this building. I may even have said it too. Right? I mean, I'm the only one around here doing anything. And that's what Martha is giving expression to. Now listen, Jesus is not calling us to be monks, right? Spend 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, singing psalms, hearing sermons, and going to prayer meetings. You know, nothing else whatsoever. I mean, there's something nice about that, the tranquility, the meditating, you know, nice and quiet. But Jesus isn't calling us to that. But Jesus here does remind Martha, everything isn't about you and your serving. There's a proper place for everything and a proper priority to everything. It's love to God first, love to neighbor next. Why is it in that order? So there are those times when we have to stop and ask ourselves, when do I need to do more? Or stop and ask myself, when do I need to do less? Or to stop and ask myself, when do I need to sit down at the feet of Jesus and simply listen to him? When do I need to do it on a daily basis or a weekly basis? When do I need focused attention on Jesus? So you can see it right here because Martha starts so well, doesn't she? I mean, there's a whole sermon in that fantastic phrase. She welcomed him into her house. What a great picture. She welcomed Jesus into her home. It's a beautiful image. And Jesus, as I've told you, Jesus loves this home and he loves all the people in it. Martha loves the Lord Jesus. He's at home in the place. He's not sat there and he's being tested, you know, like the Pharisees did. He sits down for his meal and they're testing him and they're testing him. There's none of that here. So it starts well, but then it starts to go sideways fast. Look at verse 40, because it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. That word distracted, it's the only place it occurs in the whole of the New Testament. I mean, that would be quite something for Martha, wouldn't it? Going through the pages of the New Testament later in life. And there's only one word. It's only used once in the whole New Testament. It was used about me. Distracted, right? And here it is, right? The word means this. To be overoccupied. It means to be too busy in a thing. It means her service was a burden. Her service was like she was carrying around a ball and chain. And all that she can see is much serving. So here she is. She welcomes Jesus into her home. And then she so distracts herself from him, she does it by her serving him. And she doesn't see him. This is the difficulty, I think. On the one hand, you could react to Martha and say, you know, typical overachiever. You know, here she is, you know, a typical overachiever, busy, busy, busy. You know, I get tired just thinking about how much she does, right? That kind of person. On the other hand, you know, you go the other way and you say, look, Jesus is here. If I knew Jesus was coming to my house tomorrow, I'd do something really, really special as well, right? So you know, don't be too hard on the woman. She wanted to do the very best for Jesus, but she tipped the balance. And you see what Jesus says about her. Verse 41, it says, Jesus says this. He says, right, to her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. That word troubled says something about her. It says something about her heart, that her heart was very noisy. It's a very noisy place to be. It's kind of the noise of driving herself. It's the noise of, you know, being upset, you know, almost, you know, kind of boiling up underneath it, annoyed, almost angry. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, something is out of place in your heart, Martha. Martha, Martha, the balance isn't quite right here. So what about you? Is the balance right in your life? Filled with doing, doing, doing? See, sometimes you and I, we try to love God and we try too hard. Don't we? Try too hard to do too much. And we do too much and then we begin to forsake neighbors. Especially close neighbors. Or on the other hand, we try too hard to love our neighbor. And do too much And what happens when you do that is that the volume on the inside starts to increase and increase and increase. It gets louder and louder, and there's no rest, no peace, no joy, no love. Too much of our own serving, and not enough of sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. So it's that phrase, right? Don't you see how much I'm doing for you, Lord? So there's a second question, and it's this. Are you trying to love God and love neighbor in such a way that you end up doing neither of them? Okay, that's the second question. Are you trying to love God and love neighbor in such a way that you end up doing neither of them? So, just trying too hard to serve, and you end up doing what you end up not doing what you were trying to do in the first place. Now you can see the scene. I mean, I can in my head. I can imagine what's going on. Actually, I imagine my own house, but I'm not going to go there because I'll get into trouble if I do that. So I'm imagining this scene in their house, right? Not my house, their house. And you know, Mary's sitting and she's there listening to the Lord Jesus. And it may be that at the beginning she was helping her sister. And they were doing some of it together. But then she went into the room and she heard Jesus speaking, and so she sat down to listen. And then Martha now is rushing around, right? The stovetop's full, all the bubbling away and all this kind of stuff. And here it is, she's rushing. And maybe it started with, you know, the pots and pans, right? Bang, right? You know, it gets louder and louder, you know, bang, and then you mutter, right? That's what's going on from the kitchen, right? And then it's, you know, she comes into the room where everybody sat, and she says, you know, excuse me, Mary, you just got that dish right here, right? Or maybe, you know, afterwards it's, Mary, will you pass me that napkin? No, not that one, that one, right? And there are these more, and then maybe the next bit is, it escalates, right? And it's, you know, right, or eye rolling or something, and then she finally, you know, all the inside comes out, all the noise on the inside comes out. She's finally had enough, and she says, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister, not Mary, but my sister, right? In this context, it's first name, middle name, and the next middle name, and then the last name, the whole lot, right? All at once. But here it's just my sister has left me to serve alone. And here, as I say, is all the noise that's in her heart spills out. And you notice this, it spills out in a particular way. What's the particular way? She spills her heart out in judging both of them. Not just Mary, but Jesus too. She comes out, right? She loves both of them. I've already been telling you that 100 times. She loves them, but here she is, out of the noise of her heart, she opens her mouth and she judges them. She rebukes them. She censures them. She's complaining. It's a complaining spirit that she displays. You know, you would say, well, it's bad enough she's complaining to Mary, but who's the first to get it? She complains to Jesus. Don't you care? See, there's that questioning, right? Questioning Jesus. Don't you care about me, Jesus? If you cared about me, Jesus, my sister, you'd make her. Don't you see that I'm doing this all by myself for you? Shouldn't you be rebuking Mary? Shouldn't you be chastising Mary? Shouldn't you be forcing Mary to do it? You see, that's exactly what Jesus does, right? He forces everybody to do stuff for me, or right? That's the spirit of her words. It's really sad. Jesus is not meeting the expectations that Martha sets. See, Martha, things should be done this way, Jesus. And so, Jesus, you're not responding appropriately. Here's where you get to the rubber hits the road now, right? Jesus, you're not responding properly to all this service I'm doing for you. Right? Lord, if you cared about me, you'd do this, 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 and this. Tell her to get up and start helping me. I'll put it to you that that is a very, very dangerous place to be in. But spiritually, this complaining, judging, not merely other people, but Jesus. You know, now you're kissing cousins with the wilderness generation. Sadly, how many of us have done the same thing? See, this passage isn't for the Marthas among us. It's for the whole lot of us. Martha isn't loving her sister either, right? You remember the question I started off with? Are you trying to love God and love neighbor in such a way that you end up doing neither of them? So she's not doing the first one, and she's not doing the second one either. See, one of her closest neighbor is her sister Mary, and she's to love her with a similar love that she's called to love the Lord her God. Rather, what you see is she turns on her. She turns on her sister. You see the words again? Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. She says to Jesus, right? Jesus, command Mary to be like me. Is that too strong? Jesus, command Mary to do what I do. Right, command Mary to help me do what I love to do. Or how about this one? Right, Jesus, command Mary, right, make sure that my service is given the prominence that it obviously is not getting at the moment. How about that one? See, what it boils down to is that the struggle that Mary's having is pride. Just old, good old fashioned spiritual pride. What would love do? If Martha is loving her sister, she could have said just very simply, Mary, you go on in there and sit there and make sure you take lots of notes so that we can talk about it later together. I'll take care of the food. You enjoy the moment with the Lord Jesus, right? You see, somebody had to take care of the stuff, right? So somebody had to do the hosting. Somebody had to provide the fruit. So we shouldn't be too hard on Martha. Not at all. But serving should never push out listening to the Lord Jesus. And that's where we come to the third and final question. Are you making sure that you are choosing the good portion? Are you making sure that you are choosing the good portion? I think by now we understand what that is. See, the good portion is not just merely sitting at the feet of Jesus, some kind of weird mystical thing. But sitting at the feet of Jesus in order to listen to him. That's what it is. That's the good portion. To listen to the Lord Jesus. See, there is a time. There is a time that the deliberate effort to stop everything. You know, there is much to be done. But to stop fretting and realize I will not be able to do anything well without a quiet heart, without love for God, without clinging to every word from the mouth of Jesus. So what I receive from Jesus, that's the good portion. What I receive from his mouth, right? His words, his promises, the blessings, privileges of the gospel. That's the good portion. And if I understand that, see, that's heavenly food now. And I want to be hungry for that. I think it goes like this. See, Mary, listening to Jesus to learn what to do. To love neighbor. Martha, she's telling Jesus what to do. See, Mary, she's listening to Jesus to learn what to do. But Martha's just telling Jesus what has to be done. See, let me ask you this then. This is one of those difficult questions to ask yourself. You know, do your prayers sometimes sound like Martha, right? God, you should be doing da 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 da. And you should be doing da 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 da. Don't you see what's going on here? Where are you? You know, that kind of thing. Or rather, is your praying like, you know, reading the words of the Lord Jesus and praying his promises back to him? Taking his word, praying his word back to him. See, that's what a disciple learns to do day by day by day by day. So, loved ones, as we come from this passage, we're reminded the challenge of loving the Lord our God and loving our neighbor, doing both in a way that honors both, but in seeking the one thing, the good portion, our Lord Jesus himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this incident in your word that teaches us so much. And we pray that you yourself would bring us to the Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, you would instruct us yourself on how to live for your glory. Bless your word to us, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen.